What a joy it is to be able to meet with you around the precious Word of God, not just the written record book, the Scriptures, but the person of the Word of God himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I want the Word to become my flesh, too. I want it to enter into me. I want it to enter into you. I want the person of the Word to be involved in us. And I trust that he will as we meet together. We're going to be looking in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and verse number 1. But before we do, I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 52. I need to tell you what I'm going to tell you. And I need to make you understand and see some things that the Lord is, how the Lord is directing us. This is the message our Master gave me to come to bring to you. But I want you to be able to understand what we're fixing to get, what we're about to do. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, and he's talking about those people that handle the Word of God in an Old Testament context. But in the New Testament context, he's talking about pastors and teachers and so forth. He said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. He's not like a merchant that's going to try to sell you truth. He is a householder, somebody that is responsible for feeding and nourishing you. He is every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. That's what I wanted to get to you today. That's what the Lord has put on my mind. We are going to do probably a lot of reviewing things that you have recently heard from this pulpit, but it's what the Lord gave me. So I don't question the Lord. When he gives me something, I just come and give it to you. And I remember that verse in Ezekiel chapter 40. In verse number 4, Ezekiel chapter 40, we've read this to you many times. Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse number 4, and the man, that is the Lord Jesus, said unto me, Son of man, talking to Ezekiel the prophet, behold with thine eyes, hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I will show thee. Why? For to the intent that I showed them unto thee, art thou brought hither. The only reason I brought you here and called you to preach is for this reason. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. It's my responsibility to bring you everything God brings to me. And this is going to include things old and new. Going to bring these things out of our treasure, out of our heart, out of our gift, out of our studies, out of that which God has taught me, out of that which I've set my heart upon, I want to bring it to you. All right, enough introduction. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1. What is our message title today? Which God gave. Which God gave. And it reads like this, Revelation 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his messenger unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So this is a revelation that came from God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle John by the Holy Spirit for those who read and hear and keep these things. That's what this is all about. And he says in verse number 19 of Revelation 1, he said, write those things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be. And he tells you, if you in verse number 11, that's what I want, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. This is Christ speaking to John. I am the first and the last. What thou seest, number one, write in a book, and number two, send it. This is not to be kept. This is to be sent forth. You said, of course, that's the way it's always been. No, that's not the way it's always been. There's been times when this has been sealed up. There's been times when this has not been allowed to be sent forth. It has been kept away from the public. Why would God give it if he's going to keep it away? Because it's only given to those particular people in those particular times. Look at Isaiah chapter number 8, the book of Isaiah. And again, we've seen these scriptures before, and some in just the preceding week's lesson. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Number one is to be sealed up, but it is not to be sealed up from everybody. It is to be sealed among my disciples. It is given unto the peoples of God for them to see it. Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter number 12. Daniel, chapter number 12. And if there ever was a sister book to the book of the Revelation, it is the book of Daniel. Daniel, chapter 12, and verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So seal it up, shut it up, until the time of the end. Verse 7 of Daniel chapter 12. And I heard the man clothed in linen, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was held up, or when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Verse 8, Daniel 12. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? I don't understand. Tell me what shall be the end of these things. And guess what God's answer was? Daniel 12 and verse number 9. And he, God said to Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So Isaiah, seal up the law, bind it up among my disciples. Daniel, I'm not going to give you the understanding of this. I'm going to seal it up, but here it is. And God tells us that I told you this beforehand so that you would know that it was me that said it, and that I am God, and nobody else could ever reveal this unto you. But we're looking at the book of the Revelation, and it says, write these things and send them to the churches. Verse number 11 of Revelation 1, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. So this is something different. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. So here comes a different day and age and different time, and here is the same God revealing these things in the same fashion. It is not done by education. You can't learn these things of human knowledge. It is not by education. It is by revelation. Now, we should educate ourselves in these revelations. But this is a revelation from God Almighty given to the Apostle John by the Holy Spirit, that he might show them unto us. That's what it's all about. Look at James, the book of James, chapter number 1 and verse number 17. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. As the Bible said, in him is no darkness at all. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father, capital F, meaning God the Father, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't wobble on the axle. He doesn't vary. It's truth. It's God's absolute sovereign truth that God is giving. It is very important that we understand and that we know this. Now, he said that Revelation 1 and verse number 1 again, he said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And it is to be given to his, given to John, so that he might give it unto his servants, to the persons of the holy, of the blessed and the holy saints of God, the believers, those that are born again. They're given unto us. This is your book. This is something straight from God by the Holy Spirit to John in order for you to receive it. This is that which you should receive. Now, this book has seals. It is sealed up. And we understand and know that it is one that has seven seals. But, dear soul, it is not a sealed book. In chapter 5 and verse number 1 of the book of the Revelation, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, because some religionists just read that far and stop, or just read that verse and don't get anything else, they say, well, this is a sealed book. Well, that's an error. It's a lie. It's not a sealed book. It's a book that had seals, but it is not a sealed book. Isaiah was, Daniel was, Habakkuk was, and we see in Habakkuk chapter 2 that he was told to seal what he wrote. But dear soul, this is not a sealed book. There's a difference between a book that has seals and a book that is sealed. This book has seven seals. What is that? That they melted wax and dropped it on the edges of the book and put the king's signature on it. Signet ring. Well, it was a signature. And pressed that in there, and it was sealed up. And nobody was to break it. The king sealed it. God sealed this book with seven seals. But they're not going to remain sealed. We see that it is that which is opened up by the Lamb of God. We'll see that in chapter 5, that John weeps much because there's no man in heaven or on earth or under the earth worthy to open the book. The problem with opening the book of the Revelation is unworthiness. Dear soul, the Bible says of itself in chapter 4 and verse number 1, for us to be able to come into these truths in the book of the Revelation, we must come up hither. Now, the devil has robbed us of being able to open this book. Because he immediately says, well, that come up hither in chapter 4 and verse number 1 is the rapture of the church. The church is taken out. That's stupid. Who would take you out before you even get the book open? Why would you quit before you even get started? That come up hither is not a rapture and a leaving of the earth. Let me show you what that come up hither is. Look at your Bible, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Come up hither. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now, first of all, people can't understand that. Well, that's talking about the physical resurrection at the end of the age. No, it's not. It's talking about being dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, 1. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're not dead in activity. You're alive. You came to church. You heard the gospel that day. You're very much alive, but you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're dead spiritually speaking. So when God saved you, it was a resurrection. We sing the song, "Rise up, O men of God." It's talking about coming to the opportunity and actualities of the spiritual realm. So Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ. No, not the seventh trumpet and the resurrection at the end of the age. This is the first resurrection. Being born again. That's the reason people can't understand Revelation chapter 20. They don't know the difference between the first and the second resurrection. The first resurrection is regeneration, if you will. It's when God saved you. That's what this is talking about. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you a Christian? All right, here's what you're supposed to do. Seek those things which are above. Get your mind off of carnal things. Get your mind off of things religious and come up in the Spirit. And if you'll read Revelation 4 verses 1 and 2, you'll find out the result of God telling John to come up hither was, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't leave the earth that far. He didn't levitate off the earth a half an inch. He didn't rise up and float up in the air. It says the result of God saying to him, come up hither was, I was in the Spirit. So before you attempt to read the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, you need to bow your head, bow your heart, ask God to help you. Not to try to see things as far as the intellect is concerned, but as far as the revelation of Jesus Christ is concerned. You are to come up hither. You are to rise up in the realm of the spiritual. Let's finish reading this. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Contemplate things from a viewpoint of Christ's throne and not from a viewpoint of your earthly need. You are not to view this book from a viewpoint of what you think and you feel and how you contemplate this. You are to be there in the presence of Christ and look at things from God's viewpoint. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's the problem with men trying to read the book of the Revelation. They look at things from a viewpoint of things on the earth. They see things in a literal, physical, earthly viewpoint. And we see, he says, set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. Why? Because as far as your old man is concerned, ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. Stay dead. Rise up in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Verse number 4, Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Well, if I'm to stay dead here on earth, when will I ever have personal attainment? When will I ever have personal appearance? When Christ appears first. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in a glorified state. For we shall see him as he is, and therefore we shall be like him. So Revelation 4:1 tells you that you are to rise up in the spirit before you attempt to open the pages of this book. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, was as a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." If you're going to have God show you the things of the Spirit, things of the church, things of the New Testament age, you're going to have to rise up in the Spirit. Verse 2, Revelation 4. What was the result of God saying, "Come up hither"? And immediately, I was in the Spirit. What is the first thing he sees when he's in the Spirit? He says, "And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." You will see things from a viewpoint of the present reign of Jesus Christ. You will see things from a viewpoint of the authority and the sovereignty of Jesus Christ revealing them unto you. That's what we read you. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Your perspective, I knew I could get it right. Your perspective after this, Christian, is viewing things from a viewpoint of Christ and his sovereignty and his glory and what he wills. It's not you trying to talk God into doing what you think ought to be done on this earth, looking at things from a political or a social or even a religious point of view. It is you staying dead to yourself. God doesn't need our opinion. We need God's opinion. And we need to rise up in our self-consciousnesses in a viewpoint of Christ's self-consciousness and see things from a viewpoint of him. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Again, where then is the rapture of the church? Let me show you that come up hither. Again, this is things that is new. We've just went over this just a week or so ago in Revelation chapter 11. In Revelation chapter 11, he says, oh my goodness, I'll find it in a minute, don't go away. Here it is. In verse number 11, he says, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them." Those two witnesses that were dead, and God's going to let the gospel be dead and lay in the street. And dear soul, if that's not today, I don't know when it is, because there's general public, Joe public, don't know a thing in the world about God and the gospel. He said, "And they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." And then verse 12, "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither." That's the second come up hither you've seen. Revelation 4:1, come up hither. Result, and I was in the Spirit. It's a rising up in the spiritual to be able to contemplate and to see the things of the Lord that God has given us. Then in Revelation 11:12, come up hither. And what was the result? Next sentence. "And they ascended up to heaven." There is your rapture. It's not Revelation 4:1. It's Revelation 11:12. Revelation 4:1, come up hither. I was in the Spirit. Okay. You can't consider the book of the Revelation because it's that which God gives until you rise up into the awareness and consciousness of God while you view things from Christ's viewpoint. And then he said, okay, I'm going to bring you on into glory. When everything's over with, everything's fulfilled, you say the church is going to be taken off the earth. we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. When does that happen? Come up hither, Revelation 11:12. And then it says, they ascended up to heaven. Not, I was in the Spirit. They were in the Spirit in Revelation 4:1. To be able to understand the things of God. Now, after the church age is over and done with, and they've all been brought into the Spirit of regeneration, now they are caught up into heaven in a come up hither that is there. So this is a come up hither which God hath given unto us. So before you attempt to read this book, understand, number one, it is a book with seals. It has seven seals. They have to be opened. But it is not a sealed book. It is meant to be opened. Isaiah's was not. Daniel's was not. Habakkuk was not. But the book of the Revelation is. But dear soul, you can't just go running into it and make anything out of it that you want or anything out of your imagination. The Bible said casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into submission to Christ every thought into his obedience. We got to conquer our minds and conquer our hearts and make sure that we understand that we're not just to run into this and get Dr. Bottlestopper, you know, his sermons on the book of the Revelation and just say, well, I got it. You don't go to Dr. Bottlestopper to get this. You go to Dr. Jesus. This is his book. This is the revelation that God gave to him, not to you, not to me, not to anybody else. But only to Christ, and then us as we come to Christ. That's what it says. The book of the Revelation. That's what it says. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, unto Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. The book of Luke. Why is it that we could not understand the things of the Lord until the coming of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that God used to give this writing, and the Holy Spirit then is the only one that can interpret this writing. And let me ask you this. How is it that a nation could be under God's instruction and law for 4,000 years with such great men as Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Joshua and some of these men? How could they be under such great men as Isaiah and so forth? And then when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, they kill him. They didn't have a spiritual understanding of what God the Father was saying unto them. So when God the Son came, they murdered him. They crucified him. We will do the same exact thing in the book of the Revelation. I don't care if you have 65 books that you think you understand and you've written, you know, commentaries on them and given devotions and all that stuff. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, you can't have this book opened unto you. It is not a sealed book. It can be opened. It will be opened. It is for the purpose of being opened unto us, but it has seven seals on them. And the Bible says that the only one that can open the seals is the Lamb of God. Let me read that to you. Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. He's the only one that can open them. John, as an Old Testament believer, he still has not seen and has not come to the awareness of the revelation of the glory of God by the Holy Spirit in Revelation chapter 5. He is a representative of a Jew who is still under the darkness of the Old Testament letter. So it says, I wept much. Why are you weeping? Because it says in Revelation 5 and verse 3, no man in heaven nor in earth nor under earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy. The problem with opening the book of the Revelation is not lack of intellect. It's lack of worthiness. Until you are born again, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God, led and filled and taught by the Holy Spirit, you can't get into this book, because it is to get into Jesus Christ. These are those things that are manifested of Him. So we do not go into the book of the Revelation looking for a schedule. We do not go into the book of the Revelation looking for a program. We do not go into the book of the Revelation looking for prophecy. We go into the book of the Revelation on our knees looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 clearly tells you that unworthiness seals you out of this book. It is not a book that's supposed to be sealed up. I've sat under preachers that said, and I've heard men say, well, Revelation is a sealed book. No, it's not. I agree with you. It is a book that has seals on it, but it is not a sealed book like those prophets that we've told you before and gave you the scriptures where God said, seal it up. He didn't say, seal this up. It is to be opened by the Lamb of God. I wept much because no man was found worthy. So what do we need to do? Find one worthy man. Guess who that is? There is only one man that is worthy. John was weeping very much. And verse 5 of chapter 5 of the Revelation says, one of the elders said unto me, you can stop weeping now. Why? Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Revelation 5:5. Not only will he open the book, but he will peel back and break those seals one at a time to reveal to you that which God is saying to you. Why? Because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's his revelation. Why is it his revelation? Which God gave. That's the title of our message. God gave it to him. You want it? Go to him. You're going to have to be worthy. You're going to have to be dead to yourself and risen up with Christ. You're going to have to be in the Spirit and rise and raise up in the Spirit. Come up hither. Before you open the book of the Revelation, you need to close your eyes. Before you open the book of the Revelation, you need to bow your head. And you need to ask the Lord, Lord, take the scales away from my eyes. Help me, Lord, that I might come to see you. Not just try to impress people by my song and dance and the things that I can tell you about the book of the Revelation. But go to the one who only is worthy to open the seals and to peel them back so that you can see them. And he wants you to see them. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. What did he say? John, write these things in a letter and send it. He wants it to go out. You want to see it? He wants you to see it. You want to see it? You're going to have to come to Christ. You want to see it? You're going to have to come to Christ and have him to make you acceptable in the beloved. You're going to have to be able to sit with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. You're going to have to cease all religious carnality and cease all religious pride in being able to discern what the Bible said and be some great orator. The letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that giveth life. That's all I'm trying to say. Listen, how do we understand this book? Seven seals, yes, but they are the king's seals. Who is the king? He's the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. He is the Lamb of God. And if you're born again, he took away the sin of your world. And he's the one that says to you, come up hither. I've got things I want to show you. And when he says, I want to show you things to come, he's not talking about things to come from where we're standing here in 2022. He's talking about things to come that he told John back there in AD 95 or in AD 90, whenever this book was written. What is he talking about? Why is John weeping? Because the Old Testament believer can't go any farther. The veil of the temple has been split in two. Matthew 27, 52, 51, somewhere in there. What does that mean? It means the Holy of Holies has been violated. You tear that curtain open and it makes it, anybody can just walk in. Heretofore, they hadn't been able to do that. Only the high priest could go in once a year because it's the Holy of Holies. But now that's not considered to be the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ and being in him is the Holy of Holies. It's not in a place. It's in a person. So we need to come to Christ and understand that which he will reveal unto us. So we go to him and you say, Lord, destroy the veil on my eyes. Destroy the veil on my heart. Israel is blinded because there's a veil on her heart, the Apostle Paul said. Her eyes are blinded. There's still a veil on her eyes. And that veil is not taken away till you come to Christ. Until you are born again and Christ makes you worthy. Now you can see what's in this book. And the key to understanding this book, John chapter 5 and verse 39, God gave me some 45 years ago one little golden key. And he said, son, this will set you out on your journey to discovering the things of the scriptures. And he gave me John chapter 5. In verse number 39, search the scriptures. And I did. Ignorant as I was, dark as my mind and heart was, I yearned to know more about the Lord. And he said, here's the key to it. For in them you think you have eternal life. And I said, wait a minute. You're kind of throwing off on the scriptures, aren't you? He said, no, I'm putting them in their place. The Bible didn't save you. The person of the Word did. You need to understand the difference between the written Word and the living Word. Search the Scriptures. We should. But understand this. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What does that mean? It means that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that in whom you have eternal life. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we understand this. So we love the Bible. We want to study the Bible. God instructs you to search the scriptures. But he said, don't search the scriptures thinking that you have eternal life from them, from memorizing verses, or for trying to put into place and to build up some kind of moral tradition that you can follow along and go to heaven. Many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, and I shall say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What? Be careful, dear soul. Don't come to your Bible, but only as you come to the Word, the person of the Word. All right, let's go back and read it. In Luke chapter 24, as Jesus walked with the two on the road to Emmaus, let me see where I should. Let me start reading with this. In verse number 25, here's Jesus talking to the two on the road to Emmaus. And dear soul, it is so powerful in its instruction, and it's so important to our understanding that we've got to learn to come to Christ and understand that He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, if the Word become flesh and dwelt among us in Christ, then the Word needs to become flesh and dwell in me. I need to have this Word to become me, part of me. And He says, listen, in Luke chapter 24, in verse number 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But Lord, I want to know all that the prophets have spoken. Why are you calling me a fool and slow of heart? I'm searching the prophets. I'm wanting Isaiah to tell me what he's talking about. I want those dark sayings of Ezekiel and of Daniel to be opened unto me. No, you got the shotgun by the wrong end. You're going to blow your head off. You need to come to Christ, not to Ezekiel or Daniel or Isaiah. Listen. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Okay, what do the prophets speak? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He summed up everything the prophets would say in two categories, the cross and the crown. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That's what you need to be seeking. And listen at verse 27 of Luke 24. And beginning at Moses, what is he talking about? Beginning at the book of Genesis. Beginning at the writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible was written by Moses. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures what? You need to get this. He expounded to them in all the scriptures what? The things concerning himself. That's all you're supposed to be seeking. Well, we believe in water baptism. We don't believe in sprinkling of infants. Oh, we believe in observing the Lord's Supper. Oh, we don't believe in this. We don't believe in that. You better be careful, listen, trying to establish religion. And you better make sure you establish Jesus in your heart, not religion in your practice. Because there are a lot of people in hell right now that followed down the broad way that led into destruction with a Bible in their hands and with the knowledge of religion in their heads. But you can't go to hell with Jesus in your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I'm trying to warn you. I am trying to teach you. I'm trying to instruct you. I know I've preached this over and over again. I'm going to continue to preach it over and over again as long as the Lord gives it to me to bring it to you. When will I stop? When I don't have breath anymore? When will I stop? When everybody finally gets it. Listen, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, what did Jesus preach? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The only thing God has got to say to us is Jesus. What does that verse say that we keep reading over and over again in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all God's got to say. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. That's what he wants you to see. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. That's what he said. Peter and James and John was up on that mount, what we call Mount of Transfiguration, and they were wanting. Peter was wanting to build tabernacles and all that stuff, and you know, start those holy sites, and say, come over here to Jerusalem and go to Bethlehem and see all these things, and go down into the Holy Sepulchre. My word, friend, what do you want to be seeking the living among the dead for? You need to find Christ. We need to understand that this is that which God gave unto his servants. It's the revelation of his Son. And his Son, when he preached the gospel, he preached himself. That's what this Bible says. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then in verse 31 of Luke 24, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. When were their eyes open? When he preached unto them himself. When did they come to know him? By the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And listen at verse number 32 of Luke 24. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? It is forbidden to add one more syllable or take away one more syllable from this book. We don't need more scriptures. What we need is somebody to come up hither and be in the Spirit and see the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave unto him, and declare him by the Holy Spirit. Those are the only ones authorized to declare unto you the gospel. Now, when these two get back, these two backsliding Baptists that was going away from where Jesus told them to go, he said, tarry at Jerusalem, but they didn't. They were going to Emmaus, and the shepherd goes and gets the two sheep and brings them back. They turn around and go back to Jerusalem. And when they get to the upper room, Jesus appears to them. And in this same chapter in Luke 24, in verse 44, when Jesus appears unto them, here it is, same song, second verse. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Wait a minute, you talked about a lot of stuff. You talked about bread, and that little old boy gave you his meal. You talked about fish, make you fishers of men. You talked about the heavens, you see the sky, and you can interpret it. He talked about all kinds of things. He said, but this is all I was talking about. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. That's what he's saying to John, to show unto you things which must shortly occur. I'm going to lay out the administration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When a new president or a new party or a new king or whatever takes office, they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he lays out his administration. The book of the Revelation is the administration of King Jesus. That's what he means when he said, I'm going to show you things which must shortly come to pass. He's not talking about prophecy. Well, one of these days, you know, Daniel, on Thursday, it's going to rain. That ain't what he's talking about. He's saying, okay, here is my inauguration speech. This is how it's going to be. You have had thousands of years of Gentile kings ruling and reigning. You've had Caesar, and you've had Nebuchadnezzar, and you've had Darius the Mede. You had Alexander the Great. You had all of these men and Pharaoh. And now let me tell you how it's going to be. From here on out, this is the way the world is going to be ruled. That's what he's talking about when he said things which must shortly come to pass. That's when John stopped crying. Why was he crying? Because the temple wasn't authorized anymore. It was violated. The veil of the temple had been split in two, and the Holy of Holies had been violated. It had been polluted. It wasn't authorized by God anymore. It wasn't sanctified by God anymore. There wasn't to be any more sacrifices given anymore. That priesthood was supposed to be over and done with. And there was a change in the priesthood because there was a change in the way we look at the law. That's what the Apostle Paul said. So John wept much. What am I going to do now? Everything I've ever been taught and known and led to do and that was acceptable to God is gone. Don't weep, John. Why? Because there is only one worthy. And he has taken this book and he's going to open it, removing one seal at a time. It is a book with seals, but it is not a sealed book, because the one who has the authority to open the seals has been enthroned. And John stops weeping and starts rejoicing with the 24 elders and with everybody in the universe and praising God. Thou art worthy, for thou hast taken unto thyself the book and hast reigned, and you have brought us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and nation and people and tongue. And praise God, here is the new era. There's two dispensations, the Old Testament law and the New Testament gospel. That's it. And let me, I'll finish reading in Luke 24 in just a minute, but let me read you in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. He says, the law having a shadow of good things to come, had a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It never did make anybody perfect. Why? Verse 4, Hebrews 10. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away one sin. Wasn't there rivers of blood that Solomon offered when he dedicated the temple? Thousands of bullocks and goats and so forth. Yes. And the streets just run red with blood. How many sins did that take away? None. Why were they doing it? Because God told them to. But he didn't tell them that it would take away their sins. It was to give them an understanding of the one that was to come, the Lamb of God, the innocent sacrifice that was to come to take away all sins. Keep on reading. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So when he cometh into the world, what does that mean? At the incarnation, when the Holy Spirit entered into the virgin womb, the first thought on the mind of the incarnate Christ was, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. The first word on his mind was sacrifice. He said, we ain't having this no more. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. And here I am being formed in this virgin's womb. A body hast thou prepared for me. What shall take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sacrifice and offerings, my father didn't want that, but here I am. Then he said, I, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7 of Hebrews 10. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Everything that's been written in the Bible, in the whole volume of the book, it's written of me. It's all about me. I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then he said, well, he said, God wasn't satisfied with that. Never was. Didn't intend to be. Didn't mean to be. Didn't say, oops, well, that didn't work. Let's try something. He never meant for one single bull's blood or goat's blood to take away one single sin. Never did. So he said, then said I, here's the purpose of the sacrifices. I come to do thy will, O God. And you know what Jesus said on the cross as recorded in John chapter 19 and verse 30? It's finished. Glory to God. Isn't that precious? On the cross of Calvary, suffering as he had to suffer, worse than anything we can imagine, separated from this Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken? He was forsaken of God so that you wouldn't ever have to be. And he looked up at the Father and said, I did it. It's finished. It's done. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant, the first contract, the first the contract of the law, shedding of animals' blood, that he may establish the second, and there's not going to need to be a third. Two dispensations, the law and the gospel. That's it. Jesus took away the first, and it ain't going to bring it back. Therefore, he's going to establish the second, what? The giving of his blood once and for all. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now listen at verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 10. And if you're shouting Baptist, that ought to make you shout. Listen. By the which will, that is Jesus doing the Father's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Not going to have to be repeated. But Lord, I sinned again today. I understand that. I'm born of the flesh just like you are. I understand wrestling with the flesh. And I know that what Jesus has done, Jesus has perfected. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Isn't that good? And we can, chapter 4 of Hebrews, we have a great high priest who's passed into the heavens. And we have not, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. How can you think you're going to heaven because Jesus did a good job? Because I have a high priest too. The Old Testament Jews, they had to replace their high priest as he died. My high priest don't die. He ever liveth to make intercession. Listen. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen. Result, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore, because of Christ, come boldly. But John is weeping. Why? Because he sees the veil of the temple split. The Holy of Holies has been polluted. It can't ever be re-sanctified. The veil is split. It's over and done with. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Listen. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, not to a temple in Jerusalem, not to a holy place. There ain't no holy place except Jesus. Listen. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. And that's all you need, mercy and grace, to help in time of need. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin, yes, had left a crimson stain, but guess what? He washed it as white as snow. Let me finish reading Luke 24. He comes now to appear in the upper room, and these two backslidden Baptists have come back to the upper room where they should have stayed to start with, but I'm glad they didn't, because we wouldn't have had this, humanly speaking, we wouldn't have had this relationship with them and Jesus preaching to them, bringing them back into the fold, as it were. Luke 24, it says, and he said in verse 44, upper room, here they are with the rest of the disciples. He said unto them, these are the words I spake unto you while I was yet with you. He's going to again preach to you what he has already preached to you. He's going to sum up again everything he's ever said to you in his earthly ministry. These are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Again, everything in Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, everything concerned me, Jesus said. And then verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And I'll close with this. 1 John 5:20. God hath given us his Son, and with him he hath given us an understanding. Dear soul, not only do you have the Lord Jesus Christ and you are cleansed from sin, but God will give you an understanding. Understanding of what? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. I hope, I pray, my desire is, I have no reason for living if it doesn't work, that you have had God open up your understanding in this message. Oh, dear Lord, have mercy upon this poor sinner. Have mercy upon me, O God, for I am of no use and I have no value and there's no purpose for my existence if you're not going to open these people's hearts and minds concerning the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. I weep for them. I desire and crave you, Lord Jesus, to be glorified among us. God, have mercy. Thank you.